Welcome to The Human Beat. I'm Roger Rucca. To find out about something in Astoria's past, or to learn more about the history of any other place in the county, the place to go is the Clatsop County Historical Society. And for several decades, the person to see is Lisa Penner. Lisa and her staff at the Lisa Penner Research Center and Archives collect things, photos, maps, records, about property, houses, naturalization, deaths, families, streets, businesses, schools, local industries. Over the years, those things have pieced together in Lisa's mind to form her legendary ability to find an answer to almost any question. Lisa Penner says she enjoys trying to answer questions people have and sees it as a good opportunity for her to learn more. I sat down with Lisa Penner and her colleague Julie Burpee at the Historical Society and asked Lisa how her career of preserving the stories of the past got started.
I attended the University of Oregon. I had an interest in anthropology and archaeology, physical anthropology. We moved here because my husband got a job, and so I thought, I'm going to do something totally different. I'm going to take art classes, because I'd never had art classes before. And so I started taking my class at college and painting and that sort of thing. I took a class in preservation of art materials that was taught by Judy Bird. And she was at the same time helping the Historical Society to bring materials that were over at the Flavelle House over here to the Heritage Museum, because the Historical Society just got the building. What we were doing at first was just moving lots of materials into glass cases, and we didn't know what they were or the history of them or anything. Among the objects that we got was the journal of P.W. Gillette, and it dates from 1861, and it goes over a whole lot of years. And then he reminisced about when he came in, it was about 1852, mm-hmm. and all the people who were here. And it was a big project that needed a lot of workers. Well, there were three of us that were given the job of transcribing the journal. And I was given the job to find out about the people that I mentioned. It was a great way to learn about it. And Judy also had me do a type out the 1850 and 1860 census records to give us more information about those people. So that was my start. And I had previously been working on my own family tree. That was a good experience for me to get started. And I was a member of the Genealogy Society. We took on the project of copying out the cemeteries in the area. And so one of our members took the cemetery at the top of the hill, and another one took the cemetery out at Clatsop Plains Pioneer Cemetery. And those are two, you know, the most interesting ones, really historic, early people buried there. And Jim Denon, this was just, you know, before we had computers.
Right.
And so we were just typing these things up. And I know when I typed up the census, I did it all, you know, on a typewriter. And then when I tried to index it, I typed it all over again. That was a lot of work. Well, Jim Denon became pretty much of an expert in computers. And my son had given me his Atari computer, a game computer, mm-hmm. to use. And so I was helping Jim with the articles, and I wrote some articles that he used. But he died suddenly, and that was a really terrible tragedy. And then he was doing the Comtex, mm-hmm. and he did several issues that are really good and thoroughly researched. And so nobody was doing it you know, month after month, we would say, is somebody doing the cum-tucks? And kept getting this answer, no. So Bonnie Oates, who was quite a character at the Astoria Public Library, anyone who was here at the time would have known her. Mm-hmm. And she said, well, let's you and I do it together. So I thought that sounded like a good idea. So I went and talked to the director, and she hired us to do it. Well, we both tried to work on it one time together, and it didn't work out very well. For one thing, Bonnie was very particular about language, and she also knew history. And the first article we were working on was Roger Tetlow's article. Mm-hmm. Roger Tetlow was a professional writer. We weren't. Mm-hmm. However, we rewrote every sentence that he had. Boy, was he mad. So what we did was we tossed out our changes, and we used his as he did it originally. And that sort of made me feel all the rest of the time that I'd rather have people speak in their own voices. Uh-huh. And I don't always care if they say ain't, mm-hmm. or, you know, something like that. Mm-hmm. Because I like to see the personality of the person show through.
Yeah. Julie, how long have you been working with the Historical Society?
2019, October.
And what is your role here?
I was hired to work with the Internet Archive as a digital archivist. Mm-hmm. And at first it was a year grant, and we were just going to upload the city directories and the phone books and the yearbooks and some of the more important, easy things to upload. And it became such a hit that I'm lucky that they found some money and I'm still here. I accidentally became a bit of an apprentice with Lisa, and I have got to sit at her knee and learn a lot about Astoria and Clatsop County and the archive, where things are. Because Lisa knows where everything is without having to look.
Or where they were.
Or where they were. Yeah. And we together will be able to pull stuff. I was a park ranger for a while, and you end up getting into history that way.
Sure.
And then I married a historian. He works out at Lewis and Clark National Historical Park. So if you're married to a historian, you like history,
right?
Whether you like it or not. But I do, and this is just natural. I became a teacher, and social studies was one of my favorite subjects, and the field trips when you go to the historical parks. So now I get to be on the other side of the field trips and be the one helping to educate. And in this way, with the internet, I can share information with people on the other side of the globe.
Mm-hmm. What would you like people to know about what you do here and about how they can be involved?
I think my main interest right now is to get people to come in and give me their stories.
Mm-hmm.
I will take just about anything.
Yeah.
Because I want something to show all different aspects of life. For one thing, I'd like to get more stories by women, because I have a tougher time getting them to be willing to write. And I had one woman tell me, oh, my life is not interesting. You know, nobody would want to read about it. Well, I would have, and I bet a lot of other people would have.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, I notice that I've been spending a lot of time researching and writing, and I never used to do that. But it's fun to do it, but I have to do that because I need more stories. Mm-hmm. From other people. So I wish they would, you know, it would only need to be, could be a page long, or it could be a paragraph long, or it could be six, 8 pages. The Comtux is a small journal, so there's not much room in it.
Well, is it the individual stories and artifacts taken together that sort of create the picture of the history of where we are?
Yes, yeah. But there's so much that hasn't been told yet. Mm-hmm. And we got a story just last week, and it was by a woman who had been, she had dug clams. Mm-hmm. And that helped to support her family. Mm-hmm. And it was from the Depression years in the 30s and then the 40s and the 50s. She was doing that. Her daughter gave us the story. And it is so different from anything that I read before. I had no idea. I mean, I've been clam digging, but I had no idea what it was like for those professional people. So there's so many pockets of this area that I don't know anything about. One I've been working on recently is the Youngs River Valley. Mm-hmm. And in the period of time from 1915 to 1917. And it is from material that someone had saved, or newspaper articles, all about a certain area, that area. And so when I started digging into that, I noticed it was really interesting. I mean, the people there were so dependent upon logging. Mm-hmm. I mean, they don't talk about farming much or fishing, but it's logging. And the dangers that they describe in the newspaper is really something.
For anyone who's been here for any length of time, you know that if there's something that you want to know about this area and no one else seems to know the answer, you go to Lisa Penner. But what all do you have in your collection? What kinds of things do you collect?
Well, we collect just about everything, but there's everything in there from recipes, mm-hmm. Given at a shower, the Astoria Megler Bridge construction records, mm-hmm. and the slides that were taken by a man who had been working on it, the Port of Astoria records.
Do you get a lot of requests from people who get a house here and then find out that it's been here for a long time, or it's built a long time ago, and they want to know the history of it, and they come to you and say, well, what about my house? Do you have anything on my house?
Yeah, that's the most difficult question, because there are a lot of houses in town.
Yeah.
And even some of the most interesting historic houses here don't always have a good picture from the period of time that they're interested in. So every time I hear that question, I think, oh, no. you know, chances are that we won't have it, unfortunately.
Well, what about other things besides the houses? What do people come and ask about besides the houses and so on?
About the Shanghaiing, mm-hmm. about the prostitution. Mm-hmm. We have the police records here.
Uh-huh.
That go up to 1930, and there's a man who comes in about once a week, and he looks at our police records, and he knows some of the people. But we did get another book. The chief of police himself brought them in, carrying these big, heavy books. And I was looking through them, and one of them I looked at, and there were some familiar names in there. And I took the book back to the police station. I said, I think you better keep this one for a while.
Well, you have quite a few things up on the archive at this point. So someone can go to the archive, mm-hmm. and browse and find out lots of interesting things about this area. So where do they find the archive?
Good question. Probably the best way is to go to the Historical Society's website, which is AstoriaMuseums.org, mm-hmm. and then you go to the Explore tab, and it's right there, Internet Archive. But from there, then there's a search tab at the top of the Internet Archive, and we always tell people to use the text option, mm-hmm. instead of metadata. Mm-hmm. Text will give you more to look at.
What kinds of things do you have up there already?
Oh, goodness. We have 32 different little sub-collections mm-hmm. in our Internet Archive page. And we're very lucky because it has allowed us to do partnerships with different organizations in Clatsop County, like the Community College. They have let us upload some of their newspapers and some of their architectural collection booklets that they have. Some of the churches, the Seaside Historical Museum has a sub-collection. Goodness, Warrenton Heritage Museum folks have let us upload things. And a lot of times it's just they bring them, we upload them, and we give them back. Mm-hmm. So they're not even part of the collection here, the physical collection, but now they're online, so everybody can share them. And then if people come to us and say, ooh, I really want to see that document from Seaside, then we'll send them down to those folks, and they can look there, you know. But it's just opened up the county, I think, mm-hmm. to be able to access each other's collections, you know. And that's a place to start. And then if you want to dig, you have to contact us. Oh, and all the Cumtux issues are up, so you can read all the Cumtux articles too. Mm-hmm. And you want to know about Clatsop County, read the Cumtux.
And how far back does Cumtux date?
82?
Oh, yeah.
1980.
Yeah.
We don't have the last 5 years up.
Oh, and the last 5 years of Cumtux, we'd like you to come in and buy those, please. They're $5 a piece. But beyond that, all the older copies are online.
Well, that leads me to my next question, yeah. which was if somebody would like to come in and talk with you or see some things that you have here, how do they go about that? Do you want them to make an appointment or just walk in, or what works best for you there?
Especially, we learned a lot with COVID, and we found out, you know, it does help to have an appointment. So that way we can spread out and we can focus on one person at a time and prepare. So if you just give the museum a call, or you can email us, and we'll set up an appointment for you. And we do ask a $5 admission fee just to come in and use our equipment. But that also means you can go see the museum while mm-hmm. you're here. And when you call, if you can let the person know some details of what you're looking for. If you call and say, you know, I want to look up taverns from 1800, that's a little big. But if you can give us the name of maybe the bartender or who owned it or something. Mm-hmm. Appointments help, and we try to have Thursdays and Fridays are open for appointments mostly.
What are the things that you still need here? What do you wish you had that you don't have? And you mentioned you'd like people to write their stories and give them to you. What else would you like to have here that you don't have?
Uh-huh. Well, we need is more room.
More room, yeah.
Yes. Initially, when we got this room, I was walking with a board member, and we were upstairs in a small room. And I said, it would be nice to have this room to use. And I said, but we need both rooms, this room and that room. And have one room is sort of a library with the books and things that they could look at. And the other one for people who are working, processing it as it is right now, there's not quite enough space for everyone to sit. So that's why appointments are a good idea, so that we can arrange, because we have a lot of volunteers who come in and help too.
So I walk in one day and I say, gee, I'd like to volunteer here. What would you put me to work doing?
Oh, here in the archive, we would probably first of all, we're going to ask you what you want to do. Mm-hmm. You know, because looking around, some people like photos, some people like listening to stories and transcribing, some people want to just sort things. And so once we know what you are interested in, we can find a spot for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's got to be pretty important for you to be able to keep all of this organized.
Yes.
So I'm guessing, do you work with volunteers when they first come in to teach them how to do that in a way that you can find it later?
Yes, sir. Yes. We do spend some time training people, that's for sure. But it's a fairly logical system, so once they get it, they're on their own, and they help us run the place. We couldn't do it without them.
What are the things that you have found most interesting here over the years? What things have kind of tickled your imagination?
Well, it's just that I'm interested in people's family histories. Mm-hmm. And so is Julie, too, which is really lucky because when she's working with the photo albums, she can delve into the history and so that when someone comes in, they can make some sense out of the photo. They can find something that relates to them.
And I would like to share this story about a great-granddaughter who came in with her family one time not too long ago. She was the great-granddaughter of Sylvia Winters Blair. And if folks were around in the 30s, Sylvia Winters was a log-rolling champion. And we have her log-rolling boots and her scrapbook of her adventures. And so her great-granddaughter's named after her. Mm-hmm. And her family brought her in to look at those boots. And that young girl, she was probably 18, named after her great-grandma, never met her, but stood here crying, holding these boots. And who knew that something like that would be so emotional? I'm starting to cry now, actually.
Yeah.
It was really neat. Because I think when I saw that, or when I looked at those boots, it didn't mean anything to me. But I think that's why we have them, is for those people who come in and want to connect with their past. Mm-hmm. That's why we keep all these things.
So are there things that we haven't touched yet that you would like to mention?
There is one thing I would like to mention.
Sure.
And I'm sitting here, I'm a 50-year-old, and for better or worse, the 70s are history. Pretty old history now when you ask our kids.
Sure.
So if you're looking at your old yearbooks, bring them in. It's time to donate that old history, because that's in 100 years, the time before cell phones will be crazy to those people, especially if you're in Napa. We want more Jewel, Brownsmead, any of those older places. We want to share that history online.
Well, I take your point.
Yeah.
That you don't have to have materials from 1830 or
1840. Right.
Because today is going to be history for someone.
Absolutely.
Someday.
Yep.
And so...
So don't throw it out quite yet, or, you know,
you
bring it in
stuff.
And let's take a look at it. Yeah, especially those yearbooks, a lot of, we just find a lot of folks bring in, you know, we've got a whole bunch of 1920s and 30s now, so start looking ahead, people.
So get some of that 40s and 50s.
Yeah, and 70s.
70s, yeah.
Gosh, even the 80s are old to the kiddos. What do they say? You were born in the 1900s. You were born in the same time Teddy Roosevelt was. I'm like, really? What else would we want people to know?
Well, I really wish that we had spent more time with interviewing people. Mm-hmm. And the ones that we have are really, really precious to us now. And we know as every year goes by what we have lost, mm-hmm. That we should have been after. Now, there was a man here, a geologist, Paul C., mm-hmm. who headed a committee to do interviews. And he did a lot of them. He had a whole group, but they kind of fell off over the years. And what we really need is somebody who wants to sit down and do interviews like this.
Mm-hmm. Well, it'd be nice if you can expand your space, if you had one little area where the equipment was already set up.
Another
and
room.
All you'd have mm-hmm. to do is go in and push a button to get, you know, to record someone. So that could be a cool addition.
Yep.
Do you have anything with any interviews with Charlie Haddix, out of curiosity?
Oh, anything on Charlie? Oh, I sure enjoyed him. He was quite a guy. He had so many adventures for a kid. His mother was a sort of a policeman, or policewoman, you might say. She mainly looked for kids at night that shouldn't be out in the dark. And so she slept late in the morning. And so Charlie, in the house where he was living, was up on Grand, which is where the streets curve there, about where 13th would be. He was a paper boy, and he would have to get up early in the morning. So he rigged this system where he tied a string to his big toe, and he put the end of the string out the window down below to the second, the first floor. And then when his partner, who helped him sell papers, would come to his house in the morning, he'd yank on that string and wake him up.
Well, I'm sure we have people like Charlie wandering around our area now, and people who are curious. And I think that was what distinguished Charlie, his curiosity about things, and that, thus his knowledge about things. So any final thoughts? Because we've probably used up all of our time. Any other things that you'd like to tell me?
Come see us.
Yeah, well, bring us your stories.
Yeah.
All right.
Everybody has got a story.
Well, Julie Burping, Lisa Penner, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We've been talking with Lisa Penner and Julie Burpee at the Clatsop County Historical Society. What happens today will be a part of history tomorrow, so the Historical Society continues to add to its collection. Perhaps something you have will become a part of it. One thing Lisa Penner would like to have for the archives is more space, so more of the collection will be readily accessible for research and less will have to be stored away. She'd also love to have more volunteers to do interviews, process donations, and help with research and organization in the archives. And Julie Burpee would welcome help with a huge project of digitizing archive materials for access online. You can see what's already available at AstoriaMuseums.org. This is The Human Beat. I'm Roger Rucka. Thanks for listening.